We're recording.
Oh.
I thought we might do the intro live this time. I'm Richard Porter.
And I'm Johnny Smith.
This is Smith and Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars live together, sitting outside in a field.
Actually,
good words.
Together, let's clink some glasses. Get together. One microphone, not two. We're sat in a field. Near
you
Chichester.
May, yeah, you may hear some. I don't know what those birds are. They sound lovely, but this is it's evening. It's about 9:45. The sun is still going down over there across the fields.
We've got our cars parked next to what is a very large showman's caravan that my good mate Lewis and Vicky own, and it looks like a sort of scene that's been set up for just outside of Glastonbury when they report on the event.
Oh, yes, it does.
You know,
does.
When they go, you're supposed to be Joe Wiley.
I was going to say, I'm just expecting Joe Wiley to appear. She may yet do that because she'll go, oh, some people are broadcasting outside.
It would be great if someone turned up, like, I don't know, someone who would be relevant to the show, the Goodwood show. Like, let's say JK just rolls in. He's taken a wrong turn. His sat nav's just shat itself. He comes in.
Not going to, by the way, just to be...
No, he's not. No,
this is, I feel like you were setting up a
I'm
false
not setting up a...
expectation. It's just us, but we are very rarely in the same room and record the podcast. We do it in a remote way. So this is nice, because we have been at the Goodwin Vestibule of Speed.
the Fistful of Seed.
The vestibule has been... It's been fun. We've been filming for Goodwood and we've been doing various bits and pieces, which by the time this goes out, you'll have seen it because Goodwood will be over. But what a couple of days we've had.
Yeah.
It's been lovely weather.
Surprise, sun. Lots of motor cars. You have to say motor cars.
Motoring car.
Smells, scenes,
now
speed.
Look here. Get your motoring car off my lawn.
Yes.
As Lord March... Well, he doesn't say, thankfully, but we have developed that theory, haven't we? That Lord March, in fact, hates the Festival of Speed. And as soon as the first people start arriving, he runs up to his bedroom in Goodwood House and just shuts the door and hides.
Yeah, we've all been to house parties where it's maybe spiralled out of control.
And the person, you just can't be arsed.
And the person whose parents own the house, the person who lives in the house, has just suddenly shut themselves in one of the rooms. Or I actually went to a house party where they'd shut themselves in the potting shed at the end of the garden. And they were like, it's out of control, I've got to stop it. It's like, you can't now, it's too big.
But wasn't this also, your theory was that Lord March has shut himself in his spare room, one of his spare rooms, with a PlayStation...
Your PS5.
And he's just sitting there in an egg-stained T-shirt and his pants, eating kettle chips and playing
And he keeps
PlayStation.
Occasionally opening the blind and going, oh, FFS, there's all these people driving up my drive.
Yeah, he suddenly hears a very loud exhaust and he's like, oh. There's a little peek out and he's like, oh, God, there's thousands of them out there.
And he's put his phone on airplane mode because he knows there's just tons of missed calls. Oh, God, it's Derek Bell again. Oh, no, it's that guy again.
Oh, fuck. Thierry Bootson's texted me.
All these foreign drivers that have made such a huge effort to come over, I just can't be bothered to see them.
That's a funny thing about this this festival is that you don't feel shortchanged. There's loads of cars.
Yeah.
But the cars that would have come from abroad previously... Between COVID and Brexit, apparently, it's made it much harder.
Mm.
And then Porsche have sent over some of their old stuff, but it's not running up the hill because
the
technicians from the museum in Germany said, oh, well, we come over, it's like 2 weeks isolation.
Yeah.
And we haven't got time.
No.
Because history never sleeps. So they have just decided to send the cars, but with no tech support, which means they can't run.
Did you say tech support?
Tech support. No, tech support.
Okay.
Tech support. The other thing we haven't mentioned is also because normally we record the podcast at a sort of daytime hour, and
this is late,
and we're drinking wine.
And like I say, there's a whiff of either live broadcast from one evening of Glastonbury, or maybe Spring Watch kind of BBC Wildlife programme. We've got ourselves a polished vintage caravan, so the look is there. I've got my wife's Suzuki Jimny parked just to stage left. And you got your borrowed Golf R there. And another important element to the evening. I don't know if you can hear this on the microphone, but what are you going to witness now? obviously not visually, but orally. This is a fresh, you're going to crack it, Rich, fresh bottle of Brut Splash On that we bought from the supermarket this morning. We went to the supermarket this morning from the hotel because I'd forgotten to bring any toothpaste like an amateur traveller.
Now, let the record show that I offered to give you a dab of my toothpaste, but then I showed you how big it is. It's the world's smallest tube of toothpaste.
You had those ones that are inside the cubicle on an aeroplane on a long-haul flight?
It's smaller than that. I mean, it's like a sort of doll's tube
it
of
is
toothpaste.
A doll's house.
It's really bizarre.
I'm like, if I have a toot on that, then it's gone.
So, because we were staying in a hotel near Goodwood's Circuit last night, and there's a supermarket nearby.
Yeah,
and you went, don't worry, well, after breakfast I'm going to go to the supermarket, I'm going to walk down there and I'm going to buy some toothpaste, so I'll come with you.
Yeah,
and then while we were there we went, oh, actually we're going to be staying in that
showman trailer
whatever it's called that tonight, and we're going to be recording. Let's buy some booze while we're here, then we won't have to get any later on.
Yeah.
So at about 9 o'clock in the morning,
we went and got some
full-bodied Sainsbury's buying lovely full-bodied Malbec.
And then, just as we're about to go to the till, I spotted, there's a shelf full of some strong cologne, as Americans would call it. And I said to Rich, I'm going to buy you some fresh bottle.
Why does this say authentic fragrance? Because
it's because it's
as opposed to what, an inauthentic fragrance. You smell that? No,
that's definitely the real Brut.
All right, well, look, I'm going to open it because I know you're determined.
Please.
That I should. And I was a bit annoyed with myself that I didn't just crack it this morning and put some on for today at the festival.
Oh, you should have leathered it on.
But all right, so I'm opening it.
You would have. Oh, the top.
Oh my God! It's not even got a squirty. It's got
it should have
open neck. Well, it hasn't. Look, it's bloody open to the.
Oh gosh!
Open to the elements.
Are you going to tip it?
Hang
down?
On. I think I've pulled the squirty thing off because that's dangerous.
Do you know what this? Imagine you're just about.
Fuck.
Oh, it's wedged in.
It's
isn't
wedged
it?
In.
We've got a broken bottle.
I'm going to take it back to the big Sainsbury's now. But
£4.
Well, I'm already getting. Ooh.
That is strong.
Ooh. Okay.
Go on then, tell the viewers what a little.
It's hard to describe smells, but it's musky and masculine but quite fresh as well.
Oh, it's very fresh.
It's fresh, isn't it?
The great thing about it is tomorrow morning, if you're unable, you're running late, you're unable to have a fresh shower.
Well,
it just doesn't matter.
It's
God, that's so good. Give me a.
It is nice, isn't it?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not going to say it's a nice smell. Oh my Jesus, what are you doing?
Oh, I've just tipped a load down the neck. It's just trickled down.
Lunatic. Well, now all of your clothes and that chair.
God, I smell good.
You're going to smell. Speaking of wine, one of the single funniest things in a sort of glorious first world problem kind of way that I've seen in the past 24 hours was last night we got back to the hotel a bit late and we always go get some dinner. We're a bit tired. And then you went, I'll have a glass of wine. I'll have this rosé, please.
I'll have
please.
A cheeky jingle rosé.
And the waiter walked away, and then you noticed I've got fucking Brut all over my hands. And I've got to touch my computer to stop this recording
just,
in a bit.
Sorry, just rub it on your bare chest.
Oh, my lid. Ugh.
Go on, just throw it up your
chest. No, it's a nice smell. I'm not denying it's a nice smell. It's I actually quite like it. Maybe I'll make this my smell.
Fabergé needs
what
to
about
talk to us.
If I go, because... We were speculating.
It's a race driver's scent, that is.
I put this in my overnight bag when I got back to my hotel room and then checked out of the hotel and chucked it in the car. The car has been sitting in a field all day in the sunshine. And I suddenly thought, what if the bottle of Brut explodes in my bag and covers all my clothes?
Oh.
And I'll go home and my wife will say to me, have you been seeing musky 70s men behind my back?
Or have you been trying to attract women who are 65?
Yeah, trying to attract women of a certain age.
Oh, they'll love it.
Era. But yeah, last night when you ordered that rosé and then you looked at the menu again and you realised that on their scale of 1 to 5, wide, 1 being the driest and 5 being the sweetest, it was a full 5. And the panic on your face.
It was
one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Panicking about how incredibly sweet wine.
I ran towards the waiter faster than like the old-fashioned Le Mans start drivers. I ran that
I think I was going to put a bit more on because I'm actually enjoying the.
Oh, it's you've really.
Oh shit! Oh, I've overdone it.
He's gone for a big throw on the behind the ears.
Now it's stinging a bit.
I can just envisage that if we shot that slow motion next against a sunset, and then you pull over your head one of those quite bulbous but basic bell helmets. You know the racing helmets.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Quite a bulbous...
bulbous bell. I got... Did I get Bellend into one of our TV reports?
Well, I don't know. Did you say end?
I got helmet room.
Yeah, you did get a helmet room.
Yeah,
it's a lovely German engineer on the AMG GT, wasn't he?
But the
helmet room.
What do we decide today was the character? Oh yeah, Koenigsegg Jesko. Koenigsegg Jesko.
I know it is Jenk.
Jesko. It is Jesko.
Do you know who I looked it up?
Oh.
Do you know who Jesko is?
No.
He's Christian's dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah, way.
Oh, okay.
But he could have been. The way you said it was so funny. You said he was...
Well, I thought it just sounds like... Koenigsegg Jesko just sounds like Sweden's top TV chef. Yes, guys, it's welcome to the Wacky Kitchen. I'm Koenigsegg Jesko. Some pretty crazy things are going to happen today. Moving eggs. Okay, let's go.
Is he the Swedish James Martin?
I don't think James Martin's that zany, though, is he?
No, he's not zany. Okay. Is he like... Imagine if David Guetta.
I'm sorry, I just realised that the.
So we just dropped some on the.
No, well, it's because it's somehow it's leaked everywhere. but it's leaving a ring on this small table, which we brought outside from the Showman's trailer. So basically, we're leaving a ring of brew on someone else's coffee table. So I'm just gonna move.
I've got to say, I like the brew a lot. It feels good. It's £4. How many mil?
That is 200 mil, that one.
Okay, so if we threw that down our necks now, and then imagine in a fictitious world, then we get up and we're about to drive to the racetrack for a race.
Mm-hmm.
This is the 70s. Mm. And you've got the choice of 3-litre S Capri. You've got the choice of Triumph Doggershite Sprint.
Okay.
Or you've got a...
Droop Snoot Forenza.
Oh, that's not bad. I was going to say maybe RS2000.
Oh, he's got a 2 forwards then, haven't you?
Forwards. Can't go forwards. I was trying to think of another car of that era, but some good ones.
I'd take the Capri, I think. It's the more broody car. I'm just wondering whether I go home tomorrow and I splash on a bit of this and my wife's about to go, ooh. She'll go, ooh, you smell nice, or oh my God, what are you?
Well, do a trial.
And then if I go, well, actually, it's brute.
Yeah, force.
Does it last? When you put it on, does the smell last a long time?
Considering the price, yeah.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's like cheap aftershave from cologne, just off some fake,
no,
doesn't it?
No, this is impressive. I bought it for a joke once, and I've kept going, because it's all right.
But when do you wear it? I never smelt you wearing it, because I've received disturbing audio messages from you slapping it on.
I've worn it around the house. Okay. I've worn it.
But would you wear it if you were going to a meeting?
Yeah, I have done.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah, I have
and
done. I've just
go,
thought, bollocks.
You smell nice.
Yeah, although it has stained a shirt of mine.
What? Yeah, telling me this
it did.
Now.
It stained the collar because I chucked it on quite liberally.
Okay, so that's what happened to me just then. I got a load on the collar of my shirt.
I'm wondering if you could have some sort of common rail injection version of Brute that just went around your sort of shoulders and your neck, and every 25 minutes
what,
it just sort
douses
of
you?
Yeah, you know, like people have that set up in their gardens where all the you turn on a tap and it waters all the beds and all the hanging baskets.
Oh, with the hoses with the holes.
Those little
in.
Capillary hoses.
Yeah. Capillary hoses, yeah.
I'm thinking something along those lines, but for the shoulders and the neck of a man.
A little excessive, I think.
Yeah. Or
unless you built it into a gold necklace.
It's like a spray bar. I'd be amazed. Do you know what? If I did historic...
You'd need, like, pump-deuce technology.
If I did historic motor racing, I would have that built into my race suit.
I wonder what the FIA would say about that, because presumably at some point this is
a
little bit flammable, is it not? The lead ingredient is alcohol.
It's exempt.
Is
from
it?
All FIA rules.
I mean, in fairness...
Yes.
The second ingredient is...
Lovely.
Aqua, which is... You know, water.
It's a band from the 90s.
Yes, it is also. Anyway, Well, what have we seen? What have we seen at the festival?
Well, we saw, when I drove in this morning, we've been here for 2 days now, when I drove in this morning, the guy behind me was having some lightweight trauma in his Jaguar.
Oh, yes.
Supercharged XK.
Yeah.
I noticed in the rear view mirror, as we were sort of all being shuffled into the right car parks, that there was steam coming out of, you know, those slits on the bonnet which say supercharged. There
was, yeah, so it was an Ali body, the later second generation XK, wasn't it?
That's right.
An XKR.
The Ian Callum car. Yeah. The first, and it was two gents of a certain age, and it was definitely cooking. It was spitting coolant, and it looked like Top of the Pops 2,
yeah.
Kind of like dry ice.
Now, this was just, I was ahead of you in the queue to get in. We got to the field where we were told to park, and for some reason, there's a gravel road along the top of the field, and it slopes downwards, and they were telling us to park nose on to the gravel road. So basically, you had to turn off the gravel road, swing it round.
Yeah.
So that your nose then faced up onto the road where you just come from.
Yeah.
And I went in a little hot on the swing around in the Golf R that I've borrowed for this week.
Golfer.
And just as I was getting close to the... It was a transit camper van that was the next car in the row.
Oh.
I felt a little understeer happening and I thought, oh, shit, I'm going to understeer into the side of someone's camper van in the car park as we arrive at Goodwood.
Oh, my God.
It was such bad form. There's no coming back from that. You'd have to just leave.
I've parked in that car park before and I've witnessed an accident as soon as I arrived.
What?
This was some years ago. Yeah. A guy turned up in a BMW Z3, the six-cylinder one. Was it 2.8? With this sort of cross-lace alloys.
Yeah.
He must have been very proud of it. So we got out of it, and he sort of, as he was sort of putting the roof up and all the stuff, he gave it a quick sort of chammy down, like a dust cloth, because it had gotten dusty.
Oh,
very proud.
That's proud.
But, I mean, you couldn't make this shit up. So I was waiting for the cameraman and the director to turn up, because we were filming for Fifth Gear. He did that, and I was watching, going, oh, he's proud of his car, he loves it. And this girl turned into the car park in something like a Clio, and instead of driving in front ways, she just stopped and then decided to just turn the car around and then reverse up next, what she thought was next to him.
Oh.
She reversed straight into his car. Bear in mind, it was a field that could have, I reckon that this field could have fitted 1,000 cars in it, and there were about 6 cars in there.
Awful for the guy with the BMW. But
he just put his chamois away.
Comical accidents when there's plenty of room for there not to be an accident are one of my favourite kind of low-speed incidents.
It was awful.
Had one, and I just briefly. It didn't go out of control. It wasn't like it was actually close to happening, but it was that moment, just that moment of, oh,
you're going to do one of those four-wheel drive drivers. I'm going to do a really big pirouette. No, I'm going to do a full throttle understeer on wet grass.
Last night when we were leaving, because we left quite late, didn't we, in that field, same field we were parked in, sun-baked grass, quite slidey.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, not being a dick, but I just sort of gave it a little bit of juice, and it lost traction control light flickered or whatever. And I suddenly, it was only when I was then on the way back to the hotel, I suddenly went, oh, wait a minute, this Golf R's got a drift mode. I should have stuck it in drift mode and had a bit of a loon about, but... I should have
done what that bloke last week, when I went to the Modified Nationals, I took my children to what is... sort of a historic max power event, and I had no idea how feral it might be. Took them there, and as we were going into the grassy car park, I said, this guy in an Audi S3 who was in front of me went into the car park, went straight past the marshal who was directing him towards the right place, gave it a handful of handbrake and just started pirouetting and had his foot flat on the throttle at the same time. And so there was like grass being torn up everywhere. And then put it into reverse and did that sort of reverse whip. You know, the reverse whip. He started doing the reverse donut whip. And I was just, my daughter was going, what's this guy doing? And I went, I don't know. And then he settled down and parked it. The marshals were just stood open mouth. And when he parked it, he went around and opened the boot, got a pram out, and then got a baby out of the back.
Was he of an age where you could consider that perhaps he'd been a full maxer back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
And this was like, he's now to get a more sensible car and he's got children.
He
just decided to blow off some steam in a really...
Oh, yeah, he just thought, this is, I've got... I've got 15 seconds. I'm either going to get thrown out. I'm either going to get thrown straight out before we've even gone into the show. Or, you know, it's a bit like, I guess, streaking at a football match that you actually want to watch.
Yeah.
You
it's
either
a high risk strategy.
I always think what happens after you've done the streaking. You know, like at Wimbledon.
Where are your clothes? I've wondered about this.
Like, you streak.
Because the police inevitably come and get you. And yeah. You know, they probably put, one of them puts his helmet over your...
Of your tadger.
Your tadger. It's the classic move on behalf of the police.
But let's say you streak at Wimbledon, yeah. Right? It's always a sort of polite streak. It's nothing aggressive. There's no, like, protest shouting about why the war shouldn't have existed or, I don't know, anything like
Some
that.
Some streakers do that.
You know, yeah, the women have things written on their boobs and things in the past.
Oh, I see, okay. You know, no, like, I just associate male streaking with sort of just slightly pathetic stupidity rather than trying to make a point. They're just going, wouldn't it be funny if I got starkers and ran across the pitch at this cricket match, football match, whatever it
but
is.
But once they get led off, then there's this awkward moment. Your adrenaline is wound down. You've dared yourself to do it. You've done it.
But then also, you're then stark bollock naked, presumably in sort of like some kind of administrative office in the bowels of the stadium. It's like, do they send someone to get your clothes?
Or do they give you some clothes?
Or do they, in fact, keep spare clothes, like a lost prop box.
Streak clothes.
Just go, here you go, put these pants on. You go, oh, but they're used. And they're the wrong size. Shut up.
Got some children's football shorts. Yeah,
this is just, what's going on? This is a pair of swimming trunks. What the fuck? Put them on.
He'll be like,
up.
That'll learn you, you naked
incredibly
weirdo.
Baggy t-shirt.
Lynn,
and
they're
swimming
sex
trunks.
People. That's what it is.
I don't know. Maybe. But does it happen that often where they go, right, get the streaker clothes covered, and they just open it up and they've just got a rack of like plain black t-shirts and jeans, and you can just, in your size, you pick it out and they go, right, put these on and get out.
I don't know.
I mean, real punishment would be just to go, we're not going to charge you, but we're not going to give you any clothes, and you can't go back in to get your other clothes. You're just going to have to go home on the train like that. Because don't try going into M&S to buy some new clothes. They won't let you in.
Also, where is his house or car keys? Because you know, then what you get home and you realise that you've abandoned your clothes and your house key. There's no one at home to let you in. Let's say
no.
You're naked and afraid.
And you've also
well, you haven't got any money.
You did streaking at Wembley.
Yeah,
but
unless you stored
you
money
live in
up
Daventry, yeah. So you've got to get the train home, and then it's a cab if one will take you. And when you get home, you can't get into your house.
Oh,
well, actually, you can't pay for the cab because you haven't got a wallet.
No, unless you've used. Unless you've used your bottom hole as a wallet. No.
Maybe some people do that as a matter of course, I don't know.
25 pound coins in my foreskin.
I might start telling, in the days when we used to go out, do you remember this? Before we had kids, we'd go out, and my wife and I'd go out, and my wife would inevitably, just before we're about to leave, and I would have sort of, you know, I like to go out fairly minimalist style. I'd have maybe not even taken my wallet. I might have just taken out, like, my bank card, my driving licence, a bit of cash back in the day, and put them in my pocket, the pocket of my trousers. And then my wife would go, oh, actually, could you just take my bank card and my lip balm and this purse of change and this... And you're like, no, okay, can you take my anvil because I'm not taking a bag? Fuck off, I'm not putting all this stuff in my trouser pockets. It's getting out of control now. But if I went... I'm
so
not
I've got
put
a
in quiver my
full of arrows that I need to take as well. What?
I've got a live squirrel in a bag. Could you just pop that in your jeans pocket? No. But if I just went, no, I'm not going to put it in my pocket because, as you know, I now use my bum hole as a wallet. I think we'd have put a stop to it pretty quickly. I said, you know what? I'll carry my own lip balm.
You could try that.
We don't go out that much anymore.
That's so. Like super Ligera outdoor activities, isn't it? Like, so you don't want to get bogged down with carrying too much baggage. We did it at Goodwood today.
What?
We both brought backpacks.
Yeah, you see, if I could have got away with not having a backpack, I would have done.
Yeah, but then you're in that
bags.
It's changeable weather.
Yeah.
I needed to bring a coat just in case it all kicked off.
Yeah.
I like water. I don't like being trapped and dehydrated.
Yeah.
Especially if I've talked a lot, which inevitably I'm paid to do. So yeah, but then you're lugging the bag around.
It's a lug, and also because we were trying to present videos, so we have to keep giving. Well, yesterday it was quite good because they sent an extra person who was just our bag carrier.
Well, I remember when my brother was at college, one of his mates who he used to go out drinking with used to be able to fit 10 £1 coins in his foreskin. So, and actually, in the van old days, that'd get you a lot of drinks. You know, like a bog off night, a student night. But
it would, yes.
You've got to pay with currency that's been...
It's been basically...
It's been into your skin.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been nestling in your own skin.
Well, anyway, that was a roundup of the cars we saw at Goodwood. I hope you enjoyed it. What did we see? What
we
was
saw
good?
Some great stuff.
We saw some... Oh, yeah, well, you haven't finished. So the XKR in the car park, having a little steamy... So I got out of the Golf, having not understood it's the side of a Transit. And I saw you pulling up, and then I noticed that Jag next to you. I hadn't spotted it before.
Yeah.
And I thought I saw a whiff of smoke or steam over the top of the car that pulled in next to me.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's a fucking great cloud of it. And then an even bigger one, because then they got out and opened the bonnet, didn't
they? Opened the bonnet and the header tank was fizzing.
Yeah. It was a bit of a mess, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. I think what's happened, the electric fans hadn't kicked any thought.
Oh.
So it's just got hotter and hotter, but it hasn't said why.
Yeah.
So I said, check the fuses. Check the connections on the fan. There's two fans on that car, I think. You know, do the obvious shizzle.
Yeah.
Make sure the cool... And when the engine's finally cooled down after an hour or so.
It's been a hot day, and there's been a lot of... There's quite a lot of old cars. I mean, this thing, we didn't get a chance to have a proper wander, but one of the best bits of Goodwood that's rarely spoken about is the car park.
It's fantastic.
There's some incredible things in there.
Yeah.
And I did see... Did you see that was like a bright orange old Mini down the field today as we left as well?
No, I didn't see that. And, was it good?
Yeah,
saw
it did look
orange
good.
911.
Yeah. Well, this morning there was that Series 2 Land Rover just by an old 911
RS.
Which was
sweet.
Gave me a great deal of delight. But then at the festival, I can't think what else we've seen. Oh, okay. So we wandered around. What were we doing this afternoon? We were wandering around that supercar paddock. New Maserati.
Oh, MC20.
Looks quite good. The blue, they've got one there.
Yeah, I think
it looks better in the blue than it did in the... What do they launch it in? Silver or white?
I'm going to say this. I think it's the first Maserati that I've been really excited about in many, many years. Because Maserati have been a bit meh for a while. You know, like, you just think they exist, but not for British people.
Well, then who for? I don't think Italians are that interested in them, are they? Because they don't... Generally, most Italians don't buy flashy cars.
Beverly Hillians?
Yeah, but...
Is
really?
It? I don't know. Is it sort of like yacht...
I just feel
it's
like...
It's like a yacht rock Ferrari.
So Miami, then, maybe?
Yeah, it's a bit Miami.
But, yeah, why...
You know, all those bloody...
I just don't think... Weirdly, they're not flashy enough for that, but they're sort of not conservative enough to that, because they make a bit of noise.
I think it's because none of them... Pretty much no modern day Maseratis are collectible.
No. And what's that SUV? I can never remember the name of it. The
Harry Belafonte.
That's it. Yeah, I think it's called the Lavamatic or something.
Yeah, the Labiamatic. Yeah.
Labiaplasty. And it's just, I mean, it's you never see them around. I mean, on the rare occasions you do, you just go.
Do you know what I do every time I see one?
Korean SUV, that.
Every time I see one, I go, I wish you'd had a look at the Alfa Romeo one first. Much cheaper,
yeah.
And looks more expensive and more stylish.
It does. That's the problem, isn't it? It doesn't look expensive. Well, anyway, someone from Goodwood. So we did a little chat around that MC20 on camera, and we talked about it. I think we both agreed that we liked the look of it and we liked the idea of it.
We do.
And more power to them.
Yeah.
And then later on, someone from Goodwood said, I was just talking to Maserati PR lady. Yeah, she doesn't like you. Because apparently I wrote something slagging at Maserati. I couldn't even remember.
I've never met her.
Well, I haven't either, but... It's,
oh, but she knows you.
She doesn't like me.
I don't think she knows me.
I think she probably likes you, because you've never been that rude about Maseratis. Well, so, but apparently that's what the...
Well, I think I might have just been rude about Maseratis.
Oh, okay, well then you're on the shit list now.
A minute. No, all right.
Listo di shitta. But yeah, the MC20 actually looks, I think, quite nice. Like, better in real life than I thought in the pictures. I was really underwhelmed when they announced it. I just thought, what's this? Why?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. Quite a cool engine. There's a lot of, you cool notice, a lot of wingless, stylish and swoopy, but not OTT, mid-engine supercars at the moment, and they're often V6. There seems to be quite a lot of...
Well, it's your downsizing.
It's your downsizing.
Downsizing.
Yeah, yeah.
And... I suppose, yeah, because it's funny, isn't it? The MC20 has 3-litre twin turbo V6, and I think will at some point become hybridised.
Mm.
And that new McLaren
Arterial Road
bleeding has a 3-litre twin turbo V6.
Yeah, yeah.
and is already a hybrid.
And looks quite really cool.
Does look nice, doesn't it? It's quite sort of underplayed, but in a good way. And they had a silver one, which we sort of had a little prod around that was a static car, I think. And then a blue one they were running up the hill. And the blue one I really liked particularly. I thought it looked nice in that blue. And it's got, the interior looks pretty good.
I didn't get a tight look at the interior. I was enjoying its fevness. And I was enjoying the fact those buttresses reminded me of
It's the buttresses, isn't it? They're flying buttresses,
which remind me, is it the Mirac? Is it the Maserati Mirac?
Oh, shit, we always get this wrong, don't we? Yes, it is the Mirac. The Bora has them filled in, or is it the other way around? It might be the other way around.
One of them's got the flying buttress, and that's a V6.
Yes, because it's the cheaper car with the V6 of those old 70s Maseratis, I think.
And I've always fancied one.
Flying buttress. Because it's one of those things where my pedantic nature comes to the fore, because people for years used to refer to those bits either side of the back screen on a Jag XJS as flying buttresses, and they're not.
Because they're filled just in.
They're buttresses, they're filled in. Flying buttresses.
Like my Dodge.
Yeah. A flying buttress on Ann Church is one with a hole in it.
The flying buttresses—they do sound like
a great acrobatic.
It's an acrobatic team. Oh, we were watching the Red Arrows today. They came over.
The Red Arrows, yes, yes, we did. But we were having a sit down.
We were having a little rest in the shade.
In the shade, because our close personal friend Vicky Butler Henderson invited us to go and sit on her private stools on the Michelin area, because they sponsor the supercar thing.
Supercar, I've got to say, the supercar area is so busy. There's so many cars. It's a stark reminder. I was thinking that maybe the supercar is going to become phased out and irrelevant. Well, clearly I'm wrong on that front. Very busy, very active, lots of new releases. Yeah. And the electric bit, very, very busy.
Very busy.
It's kind of an exciting future, and historic stuff getting more credibility than ever, especially amongst younger people, probably.
I like that, because that's the thing, it's so busy. And it's, I mean, not to complain, because we were very lucky to get asked to come and talk some shite on camera for Goodwood's coverage. But compared to the last time we did it, when they weren't allowed to have people in, paying customers, and it was really, really quiet. This was really, really busy. So when we're walking along trying to talk about stuff, there's lots of people around, but which is fine. It gives it a great atmos and a good sort of bustle to it. But it's when that bloke came over to you and asked you for a selfie while you were talking to camera.
Oh, gosh. It was
a bit like, no, this has gone too far now. The only other person who tried to deal with that was, in fact, a PR man. I won't say from which company, but someone we know who came over. And I saw him approaching, and then I was like, he's speaking. He's opened his mouth and he's speaking to us while doing some filming.
And then
and then he had to massively back out.
He aborted his mission, didn't he? He pulled up. But the Red Arrows.
So don't think we don't know what you did, Dan. We were sitting down after having been on our feet for a while. It was very hot, and we'd found that there was a sort of weird Venturi effect through the thing we were sitting in, so it was nice and cooling.
And I found a standpipe to top up my water bottle. Small wins.
Yeah.
I do like that, though. I love having a full bottle all the time, which sounds wrong. But
I like having a sort of half full bottle, because a full bottle, if you know you can top up again, full bottle's very heavy, because I've got that quite big.
Do you think Gordon Murray,
would be horrified. Why do you fill it up again? There's plenty of standpipes around. You could just refill it. You're just carrying excess weight.
Oh, if he went on like a really big hike...
Yeah.
He'd class it as a water bottle. It would be a pipette. I'm going for a 3-hour hike. I've got three pipettes of water.
I think he'd do a huge analysis, the way he would of the cooling system of an engine. He'd do a massive analysis of how much water he realistically needed, given the ambient temperature and the altitude he was climbing to. And then he would take that exact amount of water. I was supposed to be recording something with Gordon Murray tomorrow.
Get out of town.
Yeah, he's not doing it anymore.
Why, is he not coming?
I don't know. Someone sent him the script and it was too heavy. I don't know, but he's not doing it now. Someone else, another very well-known racing car designer, is doing it instead.
I think Gordon should come and chat to us. Or we should go and do one of these podcasts from Gordon's garage. Glorious. When I say garage, possibly design studio.
Design studio, yeah. He's got premises now.
He's got shit going on, yeah. When you were leaving Goodwood, did you get stuck behind the man cycling in the middle of the road with a mallet? Who looked like Michael Bolton, circa 89.
I finally managed to get by him, and then there was a traffic jam going up to a roundabout, and he just went sailing past everybody again. It was like, you
He was amazing.
He mulleted bastard.
But you imagine the drag.
On a bicycle with a trailer as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but the drag, the hair must
yeah,
have been
his
causing
hair was. I don't know, but he, it gave him a sort of jaunty, carefree look because his hair was sort of blowing behind him. Yeah, aerodynamically.
I wound the window down as I was going past him because I was expecting...
What?
Because I wanted, I wanted to hear if he was...
Bolton.
No, I wanted to hear if he was singing while he was riding. You know,
oh.
Some people joyfully, you know, they...
He looked like the kind of person who would be, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought, if he is singing, yeah. I want to know what he's singing. Is he singing Steel
How
Bars?
Can we be lovers?
Oh, that one.
Be
yeah.
yeah. You think that yeah. Michael Bolton?
I said I loved you, but I lied.
Chichester.
Michael Bolton of Chichester.
The Chichester Boltons.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet guy. Are you saying Red Arrows is one word without
yeah.
really moving your lips?
No, because we didn't sort of
left hand down.
We saw the bits of the Red Arrows display that were visible from where we were sitting because we were too tired to go and stand back out.
I'd like it if the Red Arrows were you know, like they you can sometimes tap into their comms.
Mm.
But they're a bit rusty because it's been COVID and they haven't done a great deal and they're like and they've forgotten all the terminology.
Yeah, red five, move left. Sorry, hang on, Steve. What am I? Red five? I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Yeah,
I think they're mostly very calm.
I've heard them. They're very calm.
Red five. What's the terminology they use? I don't know. They just use all code like Red 5.
It's insert, and they count. The leader of the diamond, they count in.
Yeah.
So they go, tumble, turn, right hand down in 3 and 2 and 1
yeah.
and go switch. Go,
yeah, and they're all and very calm. But there's panicky one. What? Sorry, I didn't hear you. I couldn't hear. I was holding the button down. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear. What's going on now?
I've got another call coming through. Who's that? Who's that?
I don't know the Bluetooth in these things. It's really confusing.
Chaps, you do some spirals. I've got Deliveroo calling me. Just wait a sec.
There's that every year. There's those people who get the National Talk Like a Pirate Day. And I wanted to do National Talk Like a Pilot Day, where you just do that kind of all the time, very calm.
You're very good at that. Going closer to the mic. It's almost AMSR.
Hello. This is your captain speaking. We'll be cruising today at a height of 37,000 feet. And I just spend all day.
It's brilliant.
I'm going to nip down to the shop and buy some eggs. If you look to the left, you'll see my friend Paul's house. Estimated time back home, 13:47. Weather dry. Yeah, I just very, very calm, very, very nice, ermy, sort of reassuring.
They are, aren't they?
Because you don't want someone to come on the intercom in an aeroplane. Go, it's sort of sounding kind of either
flustered.
Well,
flustered. It's not a word you kind of want to describe a pilot.
Nervous, flustered, or needlessly flamboyant and unstable in some way or other.
What about if they sounded like one of the sort of annoying YouTubers?
Oh, okay.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
there's a guy I watched whom I've tried to get my son started in preparation for doing things in the summer holiday, which are maybe a bit different and not a video game. Mm. I've bought a magnet to go magnet fishing.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to do some magnet fishing. It's instant gratification fishing.
What?
Always catch something, metal, and it's removing pollution from rivers.
Oh, I see. So you lob a magnet into a river or a lake.
With a long rope, and then you drag it.
Oh.
And then you pick it out. And people have found all... And there's people with YouTube channels who do it professionally.
Mm.
There's a guy in the States who's called something like The Fisher. Mm. Or The Magnet Fisher. Anyway, I've never heard anyone say guys so frequently.
Oh, no.
It's,
well, the bar is high or low for YouTube standards. I mean, he must be just going, guys, 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 magnets!
It's unbelievable. But anyway, he finds, in the States this is,
yeah.
He finds guns, he regularly finds safes. He finds safes.
But how does he pull them out? How strong is the magnet?
I think he's either very strong, he's got decent quality rope. I don't know.
But the magnet, doesn't the magnet just come detached
no,
if he pulls too hard on
the
safe?
500 kilo magnets he
but
uses.
But then what if the magnet gets stuck to, like, a submerged Buick? and he can't pull it out with his bare hands, how's he going to get his magnet back?
Oh, he probably slits the rope and walks away. I don't actually know.
What a waste of a
He finds a motorbike. One guy in England, he does
a motorbike.
Yeah,
there's a guy actually on the other side of the lake. He just cast too far, pulled someone's GSX off through the lake. Yeah. What are you doing? You fucking you got a motorbike. You fucking idiot. He's on the other side of the lake.
God, this looks so shiny considering it's been under
it's
the water.
It's amazing. It's still got the keys in the ignition.
No, it's honestly,
I've got a really angry man in leathers attached.
The fisherman guy, the magnet fisherman that I do watch, he's based in the UK and he does a lot of canals.
Okay.
And of course, canals have been abused over the years for hiding evidence.
Well, yes.
And he talks you through. He looks at where the car parks and the paths are, and he says, he says a lot of the time thieves, if they were going to get rid of a motorbike or a car or a safe, he said they'd back the car up to here and they'd roll the safe down the hill, and it would be probably within the next 10 metres of here.
Yeah.
So he casts his rope.
Well, they're not, because they don't even have a current, do they? So anything is just immediately going down, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, he's found enormous. He found this huge motorbike. Him and he called in his mate. He called in his mate, who had another magnet to help drag it in. And then, get this, it's fascinating. He has a POV camera on his head.
Yeah. I find those a bit dizzying.
Yeah,
sometimes.
He's moving
like,
a lot.
Stop moving your head. Please.
And he said, I'm determined to bring this one in. So imagine, like, you know, you've got a big carp on the line and you need a keep net. Instead of doing it like that, we've got an old stolen motorbike on the line.
Has he got to ring his mate? Can you come down in now?
No, I kid
he's
you
like,
not.
He's like, but I live in Stafford, it's going to take me 2 hours to get there. Yeah, I don't care, I'll wait.
He rang his mate. This is no word of a lie. His mate came down with an engine crane and wheeled it. You know those tiny little wheels that don't work well on gravel?
Yes,
like a trolley jack. He wheeled it to the edge of along this canal towpath, and they used an engine crane to haul this huge motorbike out. They got it out.
Wow.
But it was more compelling than someone landing. It was like Jeremy Wade's River Monsters, but for old scrap in canals. And I love it. So I want to try and start it with Wesson.
I like the... just like... he's not very good at it. He's forever just getting his magnet stuck to a canal boat and pulling it into some reeds. People always get really fucked off with him. What are you doing, you idiot? Sorry, it's my magnet. Now I can't get off the hull of your boat.
Well, it's like a mashup of... I guess it's a mashup of metal detecting and fishing.
I had no idea this was a thing.
Yeah, it's but what's quite cool, I guess it's the next level of people doing sort of constructive litter picking on beaches and in rivers. And,
yeah.
You know, like, I know someone who goes along on a paddleboard on the canal for exercise and fun, but they take a bag and they collect loads of litter.
Oh, okay. So I guess who's that guy we were talking to yesterday who does that on the beach at Bognor? Oh, so it was the bloke who was running the media centre.
Yeah. And we could tie that in with that bloody amazing fact you told me over breakfast this morning.
What was
about
that?
Garfield 80s telephones being washed up on a French beach.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So there's a beach in France where, since the 80s, in fact, they just get loads of those Garfield corded telephones washing up that were popular in the 80s.
Yeah.
And they finally figured out, 35 years on, that there's a container, that came off a ship. But then... got submerged and wedged in a cave that's only
a fissure in a cave
that's only accessible at low tide, and it's taken them that long to work out where all these bloody Garfield phones are coming from. There's a story I'll put it a link somewhere, but it was a BBC News story quite recently about it, and it's amazing.
I think
that was our breakfast chat, wasn't it?
That was our breakfast chat.
Garfield phone
80s
plague. Garfield phone plague playing tonight in session. What are we talking about? Oh, Goodwood. Yeah, that's why we're here.
Glorious. Didn't rain. Goodwood.
It didn't rain. Well, we're saying that it's Friday night. It's meant to be slashy tomorrow morning.
It's supposed to be a bit slashy. There's some good. There's some good drift displays. I know the car that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
We were filming in the Cartier Stile Luxe, where they've got a display of gold wing cars, a display of people's cars, you know, like cars of the people, and they've also got E-Type 60th birthday, 110 years of Hispano Suiza.
No, that's not true, isn't it? 110 years since Hispano Suiza started building their cars in France rather than Spain.
Okay.
Isn't it that?
It is that.
I mean, you go and see the Hispano Suizas. Well, you can't because it's Monday now, but you could have done this weekend. They are They're quite impressive beasts, aren't they? And with a straight eight engine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big, very, very expensive.
With a crank that is as long as a...
Well, it's like a Spanish. It was a Spanish car brand, but yet Spanish people didn't splash out on expensive cars.
No, well, because it was the 1920s, I think, or even before. Well, hang on, 110 years. I can do the maths on this. It was more than that.
Yes.
It was the 1910s, and Spain was not a wealthy country, so the Spanish didn't buy these cars, but other people would because they were very renowned. For
yeah.
Their,
yeah.
Quality and luxury.
But the reason why I'm saying this is because when we filmed all of those bits and bobs, we saw that car being unveiled, the replica, not replica, sort of...
Reinterpretation.
Reimagined.
Reimagining.
Of the Lancia 037, isn't it?
Mm.
What's the name of the company?
I'm glad you asked me that because it's... I can't remember.
Hang on, let me look on my phone.
And someone said to me today, "Oh, I haven't seen that today yet." And I went, "What?"
It's a real guys. I say guys.
Guys.
Oh gosh.
Hey, guys. Look, listen, guys.
It's really, really good. I think they've done a hell of a job.
It's nice, isn't it? And it's full of.
It's still got a Lancia badge on
little,
the front.
Well, yeah, I suppose. What are Lancia going to do?
Well, Lancia still kind of exists.
No, it does, doesn't it? I think they're saying they might sort of give it the. Kiss of life and try and bring it back, but the
logo is a lion.
Oh, is it?
The logo's a lion with wings.
Oh, that's right.
Why are we being idiots? Oh,
wing lion.
No, it's not the wings. that's a Chinese car brand. That's a Chinese car brand.
Coaches. It broadly looks like a modernised 037.
Yeah,
but it has lots of little sort of nods to other. Great Lancias, well, specifically the Delta S4 and the Delta Integrale, as well as the 037. I guess the Stratos as well, maybe.
It's got an incredible motor, super and turbocharged.
Four cylinder, but super and turbocharged.
Chimera.
Like a Delta S4. Chimera, that's
Chimera
it.
Chimera Automobile.
K I M E R R.
Oh, hang on. No, I said it was a lion.
What is it?
It's a lion with ram's horns with wings that flies.
Well, that makes no sense at all.
No, what's it doesn't, that? But the
Chimera.
Cars...
Oh, because Chimera, but Chimera, spelt the way that a TVR would be, is a sort of... Is that not a beast, a mythical beast?
Is it a Greek mythical beast?
It's a mash-up animal, like a griffin. Is a griffin a mash-up animal?
A griffin does. A griffin's...
advertised
banks. It's gender fluid, isn't it?
Is it what?
I think it's gender fluid. You don't really know what it is.
I don't know.
It doesn't identify as anything.
Are they... But they're sort of eagle-like, aren't they? I'm trying to think of a better example. Like a Minotaur. Is that a mashup? Well, that's a man and a.
Yeah, a Minotaur horse. Is a mashup.
Yeah.
No, that's not the horse.
What,
the Minotaur is a.
Centaur.
That is a mashup. And the Minotaur is a buffalo.
Oh.
Isn't it a buffalo and a man?
I don't know. Which God. Way round?
You'd think we would have researched this
the
shit.
The top of a buffalo and the legs of a man. Would they just fall over?
It's got really big
so
horns. It's a huge horn. Is it a bull? A bull and a man?
Any stumble and you're going down because you're basically, your centre of gravity is like somewhere below your chin.
If the Grand Tour ends... Could you have a Minotaur instead, which
maybe,
is just
yeah,
sort of
just,
like...
We're in Shrewsbury again, sorry. the Chimera,
yes.
I realise now what they're doing there. It's like Chimera, but they've spelt it K-I-M-E-R-A.
It's a hell of a car.
Chimera. It is a nice-looking thing. Now, I can't remember how much it is. Have they said?
I don't think
it's cheap. It's one of those ones where it's like £1 million plus taxes.
Well, I mean, it's going to be really expensive.
It's a bespoke car. And they had not only the car, two cars on the stage, one of which works because it was running up the hill.
Mm.
But they also had the engine on display and they had the suspension, the double wishbone suspension parts on display, which looked rather beefy and impressive in their own right. So they're giving it a serious shot.
Yeah, and
give it a shot.
And they're putting it on. They're releasing it and putting it on display at a time in an era where the people that remember those cars probably very fondly of that rally era have hopefully got the money to go. Yeah, I understand that. I'm down with it.
I think they probably do, yeah. There's enough. Because I guess they don't want to sell loads. They can't sell loads. They can't make that many. But,
no.
So, yeah. It's
like that Lancia Stratos replica that I drove fairly recently. I mean, that's a very, very, very cool car. Mm. Drives better than the original. Feels better than the original. Is a lot cheaper. Engine is plenty powerful enough and has the right sound, but cheaper than a Ferrari motor.
Oh, because it had that Alfa Busso.
A boost. It's got the 24-valve Busso, yeah. Busso, mate. Busso. So you can have it in free.
Hi, Luigi, have another glass of Busso.
Yeah, it's 2.5, 3, or 3.2. All 24-valve. Busso.
So, that, yes, that was a sort of highlight of the show. That's Cartier style, steel et luxe garden thing. Nice. Lot of
we're in the Bonhams
cool
area.
Stuff.
We had a look around the auction room.
Oh, yeah. Feels like it was about a week ago, and it wasn't, was it?
It was yesterday.
Auctions. Auctions. I think that auction has happened now, we speak, okay. And I don't know what happened.
Auction on that side of things. We'll have to have a look, won't we?
The highlights of that were many and various. I'm trying to remember now. Well, that Lotus Carlton that wasn't in the auction.
Carlton, which the market are going to sell, and that's going to be lovely. I enjoyed looking at that. There's some of those miniature cars.
Oh, we didn't do that, did we? Before we started filming, we'd made a promise to each other that you were going to always say auction.
I know, I totally forgot.
And I was going to say... I was going to say, try and say auction, but like Liam Gallagher, so sort of auction.
Auction.
Sunshine. What else was good? Oh, well, the Testarossa. I was really smitten with the Testarossa all of a sudden. It's taken a while to hit me that I'd really like a Testarossa.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would, and I do. And then we met your mate who's got one, and he was just telling me how brilliant
it is. He was waxing lyrical.
And how he uses it all the time. It's basically like his car. He just drives about in it like a normal person. But then he did concede. I went, well, I live in... Because I think he said, I mean, it's not brilliant sort of, you know, in everyday situations and in town. And I was like, oh, well, I live in London. He went, oh, yeah, I wouldn't have one in London. I mean, and not that I was seriously thinking of buying a Testarossa.
You wouldn't park a Testarossa,
Street park a Testarossa. Well, what an interesting... Because I'm sure, like a lot of... those sort of cars, actually they like being used better than not being used. And so, you know.
Street park. No, no, street it's the park. Only way I know.
It's the only way
street
to
park.
Pick up scuffs and dings. I wouldn't street park a Testarossa. But then again, they're quite wide, so it would be hard to get into a garage. I don't. Are they that wide though? They were wide at the time, but everything's got wide now.
Well, how
it?
Bloody wide did that Ferrari look today? That
the SF90.
One.
Yeah.
It looked incredibly wide.
Well, it's not the new one though, is it? Because there's a new one.
They're releasing them quicker than my brain functions.
The Ferrari PR man. Actually told us that Ferrari's range of models, certainly in the UK, is now broader than Fiat's.
I mean, that's amazing.
And Alfa's and Maseratis. Did he say put together? I can't remember.
I think it was put... Well, if you think about it...
Well, think about it, Fiat don't sell that many cars, different
Fiat
cars.
Fiat sells, what, three models?
The 500, the 500e, the Panda, no Punto. Do they even do that Stilo anymore?
I don't think they do this Stilo anymore.
Well, there you go. And then Alfa, only two car. They're Giulietta and Stelvio and Maserati.
It's the Harry Belafonte and the...
Yeah. Oh, they probably do that. Hang on a minute. Maserati sells more models than Alfa or Fiat.
The Grandmaster Sport.
What's going on?
Yeah,
it's all still really wrong.
It is weird.
But Ferrari dwarfs them all. Ferrari had like nine cars at Goodwood. And they didn't even have the 296 there.
No. And McLaren, they've got a shed load.
And they've got that fucking... pure water thing coming, the SUV soon. It's like Ferrari has accidentally confused itself with Ford and thinks it has to offer a massive range of cars.
It's quietly selling 180,000 cars a year.
Or is it? Is it in fact only selling three of each car it makes? It's a really confusing business model.
I don't know. What I do know is that I had a good look at the nose of the Roma.
Yes.
With you.
Oh, yes.
And I had a bit of a... I don't like the look of that car. It's experimental. It's trying to be unique. But you said it right. I couldn't put my finger on why it looked... It's a bit of a wrong end for me. And you said, well, it just looks like the base model of a type of car. You know, where you haven't got any chrome trim.
Yeah.
And you haven't paid...
All of it. I like the rest of it. I think it's a nice-looking car. But it's the grille. That main front grille looks base model. It looks like it's stamped metal grill, and if you'd pay a bit more for the GL, you'd get a sort of plastic slatted grill with a bit of chrome on it.
That's right.
But
and
it was
underneath
the bit,
that...
It was when you pointed out that there's basically chicken wire. The lower intake is masked off with chicken wire.
Stop pigeons from
is
going in.
Is even getting fucking pigeons in there? We've got to put some chicken wire over it. Or, yeah. You know what, Elena? I came out last night and a fox was trying to get into the front of my Ferrari, so I put some chicken wire down to try and...
You know those spikes that they put on top of security lights and on top of stately homes?
Yeah, those.
I'm going to say that you just put a load of those on it to stop horrible pigeons and things landing on my... exotic car.
But then, once we'd realised that that looked a bit cack, we then noticed there's a sort of 80s burglar alarm movement sensor embedded into the the chicken wire.
There is!
Which I guess is part of the radar cruise. And then
it's so fussy.
It is fussy.
Could you not have hidden any of that, but in the deep depths of black plastic somewhere?
You would think there are ways of other people do it, don't they? So I don't get that. But I think the rest of it is quite a nice looking car. There's nothing, but you're right, the SF90... And they had the SF90. What's the coupe called? It's got a thing. Oh, Stradley. Stradale.
Yeah.
Stradale. And then there's a Spider as well. And it is a really wide car. Really wide to look at.
It's incredibly wide.
So, I don't know. I'm sure it's lovely.
But there's lots going on. Lots going on with McLaren. We heard the Aston Martin Valerie.
The Valerie, which apparently has now, as we speak, has broken down at least twice going up the hill.
Has it?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, that's what
Steve Winwood's, he's cancelled his order.
Why did you break on down, Valerie? That's not that, isn't it? I'm thinking of the other
song. The Zootons.
Valerie.
Valkyrie. Call
the AA. I have seen a picture of it. I didn't see this, but someone else showed me a picture they took of it. It had conked out and the door was open. And
it sounded absolutely
amazing. But it did.
Amazing.
Whatever is causing it to stop working is obviously easily fixable in some way or other, because it then has been up and running again and it sounds extraordinary.
I've never heard road car rev so freely.
Well, it feels like it's got no flywheel
on
it.
Yeah.
Freaking power drill, isn't it?
I mean, it is like a power, it's like a cordless drill.
Yeah, just take your finger off and it stops.
Like my 18-volt DeWalt cordless jingle. I'm very proud of my drill. It's an absolute storming drill.
You've got a DeWalt.
I treated myself about three Christmases ago.
Fancy.
Extra battery pack, you know. Because when one runs out, you've got the other one on the go already. Circulate the packs, you know.
So if the old, you know... car thing doesn't work out, you could just go and be a handyman.
No, I really couldn't, unfortunately.
I've always wanted to have the nerve to put up cards advertising myself as a handyman, because I'm not a handyman at all. I'm very, very basic homeschooler.
You have the brass neck
to go into people's houses and make an absolute arse of things.
You drill through a high pressure main and then just walk away.
No. The brute just fell over. No, I have a great fear of drilling through pipes and wires, so I always use my little dinker dinker thing that scans away. Yeah, do you not?
Yeah, well, a couple of times. I've just put my hand really close to the wall and closed my eyes and gone, I don't think there's a wire here.
You fucking idiots. That doesn't work in any sense at all.
I remember drilling a freshly painted body shell of my Enfield, my electric drag race car, because I had to drill a... Oh, no, this is serious. I had to drill holes to put the Type 2 connector in.
Mm.
And the car was, like I said, it was freshly painted. And it was, you know, it's a big commitment drilling a car. And we're talking a hole the size of a Type 2 EV connector.
Oh,
so
right.
I had to drill one pilot hole and then drill lots of holes and then hollow it out with a file.
Mm.
So stressful.
Mm.
Making that first, you know, they say measure twice, cut once. I measured about 16 times. And then walked away, had a coffee, came back and went, am I sure I want it there? And then I did.
Oh, so it was positioning rather than ultimate accuracy to meet up with something.
Well, it was also on what is the corner of the front valance, so it was a curved panel.
Oh.
So you obviously have to put masking tape on first so that the drill bites.
Oh, shit. Otherwise it just skitters
across
the surface.
Otherwise it skitters like an absolute... You know what I mean?
Skitters and then goes through a lamp or something.
You know what I mean? It'd be like a greyhound on a frozen lake. It'd just go flying on it. In fact, it'd be like that bloke in the Audi S3 going into the car park and just absolutely rinsing it. Pirouette after pirouette.
No, I just I would never do this, but I just the idea of billing yourself as a handyman and then going just going, I'm really sorry, I've actually made that worse. I'm so sorry. That's about $2 million.
John,
that
I won't
your
charge
shelves
you.
Are.
Fine.
I won't charge you. I just did it for my amusement because I wanted to see if you'd be too polite to mention that the shelves aren't level. And one of them's fallen down already.
Stop it. Stop it. You stroker. Go on.
Okay.
It's like people that offer to help mend a car and they can't.
They just can't. I know.
Do you know, the thing that really annoys me is in films where they're trying to start the car and the starter motor is turning at the normal speed, but it's not firing, and then they'll bump start it or something like that. And you'll be like, no, because obviously it's still turning the engine over.
Yeah.
You know, you haven't worked.
Do they do that in films a lot?
Done in sort of 80s films and stuff. It's like, come on, it's just simple. Just get the script writer to research, Rich.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Yeah, and it's a fair point.
That's all I ask.
But, you know, maybe, in fact, they did it more accurately, but in post-production, they dubbed in some more dramatic-sounding noises.
They
that
didn't
might
get
be
requests.
How they did it. So it's like the scriptwriter has by then lost control of the situation. It's all in the post. Because in the same way that cars always go bip-bip when you lock them in movies and...
And they just don't
normally. All that sort of stuff. Well, they don't because you can turn it off. Unless you've got a Jeep Renegade, in which case it does beep.
We saw a Jeep Renegade tonight.
What?
Oh, it wasn't a Renegade. It was a Wrangler Sahara.
Oh, those people with no doors on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it still had the roof on. It was like, what are you doing? Why were they shouting at you?
He pulled out... Well, he was coming the other way, and I was waiting at a junction. He stopped, and he pointed at me. He went, it's you!
Oh,
and he went, I love watching your stuff on YouTube. It's really good. Wow, it's great to see your car. And they were cool because they had a Sahara Wrangler.
But it was very
UK.
No doors, but the roof still on. Reminded me of like a man wearing a T-shirt but no underpants, which, as we've established on a previous podcast, is like one of the worst looks
shirt
in
cocking.
The world. Shirt cocking. Yeah. It's one of the least attractive things a man can do.
Oh, it's just not cool, is it? Not cool.
Men never do that. Women
do
not like
it.
Even
if you're
like
a bit
it.
Self-conscious that you've probably not got the upper physique that you once had, or still don't do it.
Yeah, what situation are you in where this is a problem? Just put pants on. And that just levels it all
just
out.
Just wear pants or...
It's okay. But it was a shirt-cocking Jeep, that.
Oh, it was
I found it a really disorientating look. I was a bit like, what's happened? Oh, I see they've taken the doors off.
Shirt-cocking. Gotcha. It's just one of those things that I love.
You have... In fact, you've spent the past couple of days being...
A shirt-cocker?
No, what? Being receiving plaudits from people. But we have also had... It's been very nice. And thank you to everyone who came up to us and said that they like this... A podcast as well, including people who came up and also said they were patrons. Thank you.
And they got a photo and everything.
They got a photo, they got a kiss if they wanted it. They didn't, but
they get a signed checkbook and pen.
Yeah. I did say we should have Smith and Sniff stickers that we give to people who come up and go, hi, I'm a patron. We should have like the COVID stickers.
Listen, we're working on merch.
We are working on merch.
You wait. You all wait, all right? Hold those.
You haven't read that email from your wife that was to both of us that she went, since you're together, I've got some decisions you need to make about merch and.
What she doesn't know is we've got some Malbec,
we've got
a bottle of Brut, and we've got a podcast to record.
Yeah.
Which is what we're sat in the middle of a field. It's a very still field, isn't it?
It is really still.
Isn't it wonderful?
I can just hear there's a plane going over quite high.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of cloud, but it's very starry. It's lovely. It's really beautiful out here. The birds have gone to sleep now, but I'm hoping at some point we might see some bats.
Oh, this is bat territory.
What was I going to say?
Big shout out. Yeah, again, thank Lewis for lending us his caravan and Vicky, because otherwise we would have had to have driven home tonight.
No, I could have had a hotel because I'm working tomorrow.
Oh, you absolutely.
I turned down the hotel to come and sit outside outside a showman's trailer.
You're a flesh
and
hood.
And sleep on a blow up mattress on the floor.
You're an absolute flesh
in
hood.
In a showman's trailer with no running water.
That's
and the fact that I knew that this... I mean, I knew that this wasn't quite finished as a habitable place.
Yeah. It's
but you were a little sparing with the details. And when you casually went, oh, by the way, you need to bring bed linen and a duvet, I started to worry And then, well, when you very casually last night over dinner went, oh, I've brought this massive battery pack, but it's not really a battery pack. It's mainly a very powerful torch, which I bought just in case.
I'm just...
Because you weren't certain that this trailer has power. It does.
It does.
But the fact that you weren't certain...
Look, what can I say, Richard? It's a great... It's a really great trailer. Historic 1960... It only came out of showman's service a year ago. So it's seen some action, this.
It probably has, hasn't it?
I think it's one of the cool caravans rather than the uncool ones.
Well, it's also massive. Well,
it's 40 feet long, maybe. I mean, it's... Yeah, you've
well,
got...
it's got three rooms. It's got two bedrooms and a living room and a kitchen
it's
area.
It's got bogey steer.
Oh.
It's a bogey steer setup.
So you pointed out this is one of those ones that's... when the travelling... a circus or fair or whatever was moving around, this would have been towed behind the Jenny truck.
This is like a permanent home to a showman family.
How do you get to be the showman then? That's the boss, right?
Yeah, or if you're a family who, you know, the your profession is owning a ride or an attraction, and apart from winter, you're travelling with it. That's what you do.
A showman, but you know... Like,
when you say showman, it's not someone who's just wearing a T-shirt and no pants or trousers. That's not a showman.
Where are you sleeping tonight? I was sleeping in a shirt cocker's trailer. What? Yeah, you have to
a shirt cocker trailer.
Very specific dress code. Yeah, bit weird. People would go, oh, you know, Elton John is a natural showman, but it's not that. It's not like Elton John. Although actually, Elton John would probably quite like this as a kind of. You know, if he was
what's
touring.
That film that everyone loves? Is it The Greatest Showman?
Oh, yes, what with old What's-His-Face?
Yeah, Australian bloke.
Yeah, Mark Webber.
Greatest Showman with Mark Webber. That would be amazing. Get him a bit drunk and he's singing it with an Australian twang to everything.
What's his name? Hugh Jackman?
Yes, that's right. Who is friends with Mark Webber, apparently.
Is he?
They're really close mates. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, according to Mark. Yeah. I'm not making it up. I bet they shirt cocked together and everything.
That's the second most surprising celebrity news you've told me today after, did you know that Ant Anstead is going out with Renée Zellweger? I had no idea about.
Well, that shocked me, and I do know Ant, and I did send him a message just to, you know.
What to say?
What,
congratulations?
I just wanted to know how on earth that came to be, but yeah. Apparently it was through cars. He's taught her how to weld. I don't know. I can envisage that being
Bridget
like the scene
Jones
from...
Is welding.
That's like the pottery wheel scene from Ghost, but with a much more dangerous
with
high
a lot
voltage.
More oxyacetylene. Mike!
That would be amazing.
It would be, but what are they welding? Just like a sort of... A
TR7.
Oh, okay.
A real shit one.
Just putting some new sills in.
Yeah, but because the car's quite bad anyway, it sort of doesn't matter if you do a great job because the main priority is romance.
Well, you know what they say, a couple that welds together stealths together, so that's...
melds together.
Melds together. I don't think that's happened.
Oh.
What started as a casual welding appointment is now full-blown romance.
Well, yeah.
So,
congratulations, Ant.
Good on... Flying Ant Anstead, the once a year irritant that comes out and covers your garden with his brethren.
He's covering his garden with Radford, resurrecting Radford.
Yeah, he's up to all sorts, isn't he?
Yeah, doing something.
Well, it's funny, but because somebody, a friend of mine in the US, told me only recently that Ant Anstead is a sort of household name in the US because he's often in gossip magazines because he'd married a. Reality show star, I think, and then
she separated. She's a real estate TV show.
Oh, maybe he said realty show star then.
It could be realty because they say that, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they
do. That means being an
estate agent, yeah, realtor.
Or developing houses.
The other weird thing is that people in the US don't seem to view estate agents as absolute scumbags. It's like they're just considered sort of quite pillars of the community. And I went, oh. It's not really the same.
Are they?
Yeah, more than they are here, yeah.
Yeah, we don't really trust them, do we, here?
No. I was saying to someone the other day, it's weird, isn't it? Sort of as we try and clamber out of COVID and it's various worries about the economy, but the one thing seems for sure is that house prices seem to have gone a bit nutty and have car sales and used car sales, particularly because there's a bit of a shortage.
Residuals of used cars.
And so two of the sort of most dimly viewed members of our community, car car salesman and estate agents are doing very nicely out of it.
They are.
That's the hidden cost of COVID. Maybe, sorry if you're a car salesman or an estate agent. You, I know
maybe
there are
it
good
was started
well.
By realtors and car salespeople.
Maybe. I don't know. Who knows what they'll be up to. But, well, fair play. If work is going well for you, then that's got to be good.
No, in all seriousness, I hope everyone's well. And if you're a patron,
you sound like
thank
you're on the
you
phone
for being
to your
patient.
Grandparents.
And, sorry, I'm on glass number five.
The brute has. I don't know if it's because I've.
Have you noticed how strong the brute still is?
That's what I was just thinking. I suddenly got a waft of it, and I was like, "Well,
I'm not being paid to say
an
this.
Hour in, but...
We're not being paid by brute, because if we were, I would spend all that money prepping a brute liveried what? What car would it be?
Oh, brute. I was going to say a brute liveried helicopter. Just
no, I'm not interested in this because it'd be a spindly piston helicopter. I just fear.
One of the things anyone who's been to Goodwood before has been here this weekend knows that there's a lot of helicopters buzzing around because they do these flights. You can just go up and sort of do a loop of, around the Goodwood estate.
Lawyers,
for
lawyers.
£59 or something, and they've been using, I thought wonderfully, there have been some Bell Jet Rangers, the quintessential 80s helicopter. I think it was probably launched in the 60s or 70s. Don't write in, but I was associated with 80s American TV shows.
Oh, loads.
Apart from the A-Team. Although they probably had it in that. It was just that in the titles they have a Huey. But then one of those really spindly Robinson helicopters appeared and I pointed it out to you. And you were sort of... visibly, like, looking with disgust at this thing flying over because it was so spindly.
No, it's just too spindly.
So,
all right,
we're not going to have a brute liveried helicopter.
Like
I would have a brute liveried.
Would it be SD1?
Well, I was going to say SD1. I was like, is that too predictable? I mean, yes, obviously, that would be.
It'd be unbelievable.
Be a great goal to have. But,
with gold wheels. Jingle.
Yeah, maybe.
Look good.
I was wondering, though, if there's something else. Well, I suppose we could just go nuts on the old K11 Micras, brute liveried K11 Micras.
Oh, my gosh, that'd be brilliant. I know.
It depends how much money Brute are giving us for this sponsorship deal that we've confected without their knowing.
I'd love it. I'd love it. Would it look out of place on, say, a brand new Supra? It would be very odd, wouldn't it? But what about if you got the Brute translated to Japanese?
Maybe. It's the right kind of car, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, you'd put an exclamation mark at the end of Brute as well. Because the Japanese
have to
really
talk to
like...
their marketing people. I was distracted because I saw a light in the sky and I thought it might have been the space station passing over. Because it wasn't a plane. A light just... I saw a slow-moving light in the sky and now it disappeared.
Do you remember that Christmas
Eve
when the space station went passing by and it was really visible? Very, very...
It happens all the time.
Does it?
Yeah. Get the app. There's an app and it tells you when it's going over. In the summer, it's really good because it's...
A piss-off. Is that true?
Yeah.
I thought it was the only time it's ever happened.
Well, no, because it's always passing over somewhere.
Oh, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's always 5 o'clock somewhere and they're always having a drink on the space station.
Oh, well,
because
anyway.
It's 5 o'clock because they're passing around. So.
Well, anyway, we that Christmas Eve that it went past really close and fast.
That's the thing. The app tells you
knew it was going to happen. Mm. And we took our kids into the back garden just before bed on Christmas Eve. And we said, any minute now, there's a chance that you'll see Father Christmas's sleigh.
Oh,
and
nice.
Sure enough, it came buzzing past. And our kids still talk about it today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it was special.
Well, now, on a similar note, I was at a Christmas drinks party early evening in the winter, so it's dark, nice and early. And I think I'd had the app set up at that point to alert me when the space station was passing over, and I got an alert.
An alert?
An
from
alert.
The app?
Yeah, and I said to my kids, oh, the space station, it was a really clear evening.
Yeah.
And I said to my kids... space station's going over, do you want to come and see it? And they went, yeah, because they really loved it. And some of the other kids came out. But also, so did one of the dads, Miguel, he's Portuguese, and he didn't know anything about it. Same as you. He was like, I didn't know this was a thing. There's a going over. And I was like, yeah, get the app thing. And we went outside, and then I went, oh, there it is. And it's just a little light, and you can mistake it for a plane, but it moves very sort of slowly and evenly across the sky. And you sort of, if you know what you're looking for, it's not a plane. It doesn't have flashing lights in it for a start. It's just a pinprick of light. Well, sometimes it's quite bright.
It was bright on Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
night,
and it was quite bright this
believe.
Time. when we were outside, and Miguel just went, "Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! This is incredible! This is incredible! Oh my god!" I went absolutely nuts about
really?
It. Yeah, it was like he was having some kind of crazed epiphany about it.
It wasn't that good, though, was it?
Well, it is pretty cool. I love it, honestly. Even if the kids are in bed and.
Is there an app for Mustang drivers crashing as they?
Well, no, because you get too many alerts. It would just be impractical.
It'd just be amazing if you're anywhere near Connecticut. Quickly, yeah, you need
one,
to.
Just
there's
happened.
One coming up.
I know it'd be one of those things like there's hurricane warnings in the US. You just get Mustang crash warning. It's too late.
They'd or is it constantly. Hellcat Red Eye crashing so that you can buy salvage parts off it? That seems to be the hottest property apart from crashed Teslas.
Really?
Crashed Hellcat. Yeah.
What everyone people
wants,
buy?
Everyone wants the motor.
Oh, okay.
And the gearbox for resto mods.
So you're hoping that they lost control but spun round and went back first into a parked
Corona. I always hope they go rear end first. Talking of which, I think Dodge are about to unveil an electric muscle car.
Are they?
I believe they are.
When?
Well, I saw on Instagram, I follow a guy, a mate of mine called Mike Musto.
Yes.
Who, as you might know, is he had his own YouTube channel called House of Muscle.
Mm.
And he works for Hemmings. And he's messaged, he put a message up on Instagram with like the sort of one of those carrot dangling shadow pictures.
Oh, okay.
Saying this is coming imminently.
Oh.
And I've seen it and I think you're going to like it. And oh. Mike's quite a tough crowd.
Mm.
And he's got two Chargers, one Daytona.
Has he?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, one the Daytona's like a resto mod, and he's going to put, I believe, a Hellcat motor in it imminently.
Could you buy a Hellcat motor as a crate motor?
That's a good question. I don't know. I can't remember. Talking of American V8s, there was a shitload of cars at the show today with half-decent American V8s in.
We saw the Corvette C8.
We saw the Corvette C8.
First time I've seen one in real
That's
life.
The first time I've seen one. I mean, American listeners will go, well, we've seen them all the time.
Yeah.
But we don't in the UK.
No.
And we are going to get it, you said, in right-hand drive.
Yeah.
Which would be quite cool.
I don't know when.
But
I think it was supposed to be this year, but maybe things have been knocked back a bit.
I really like the C7 Corvette.
Mm.
And I've liked numerous Corvettes. I certainly have a thing for a lot of early Corvettes. I find that I understand why they've done the mid-engine thing, but it almost feels like it's a more generic car against everything else now.
Yes. I can't get on with the design of it. It's sort of dated and it looks like one of those magazine renderings of what they think a Corvette mid-engine
is going to
car
look
would
like.
Look like, because it sort of uses a lot of little cues off the last Corvette or two.
Yeah.
But
and
it's just
and
not...
wasn't the engine was positioned quite far back, was it mid-front? In a Corvette,
yes.
Anyway.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in terms of balance, it was really good.
Yeah.
So I just feel like they've gone to all that effort, and now it looks like a sort of generic cut price mid-engine supercar.
Well, yeah, I gather it's quite nice to drive, though.
Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
But would you? I mean, in America, it's different because you get one very, very cheaply. Well, relatively for its performance.
They're like the price of 10 Hot Wheels toys.
Yes. I think sometimes they give them away with breakfast cereal.
What, a C8?
Yeah. But. it'll be a different story here. It will be. I think it will still be sort of what you might consider good value, but I don't know that it will be
it's
such
be like,
good value. That
it's going to be like 90 grand, 80 grand.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
And I don't know. In an odd sort of way, by making it more like some other cars, in as much as it's... Well, I suppose, what is it like, actually? Maybe I'm talking shit. I mean, I don't know. It's just...
It's got a whiff of kind of... big engine Lotus about it.
Yes. Speaking of which, another thing we saw at Goodwood was the Lotus Emira in the flesh.
A mirror.
Now I know you have reservations. I liked it. I think it looked even nicer in real life than it did in pictures and video. But
It looks tasteful.
It's very tasteful, that's
and
the thing.
Safe.
Neat. Yes, I know that's your objection is that it's safe.
It's a bit too safe.
But I think they need to sell some cars.
They do, look, they totally
So they can't be quirky, they can't be too extreme.
Yeah.
So tasteful is probably the way to go, would say.
One thing we did is we got a little bit of a close-up tour of the Glickenhaus.
SCG004.
You remember that so well.
I don't know how.
And we met Jim Glickenhouse.
Yes.
He was wearing some interesting clothing, as you
He really was. It was almost like he went. Now, he's a sort of a very successful man, and he's from New York, so.
Yeah.
But he's also, obviously, a man of the world. It's almost like he'd come to Goodwill, he went, no, I better make sure everyone knows I'm American. I'm going to dress like a sort of cartoon American. So he was wearing a cowboy hat, and he had a big cowboy belt on. But then he was wearing safety trousers, essentially.
He seems cool.
He seems very cool. Very I've never met him before. You've met him before, haven't
I
you?
I met him briefly at the... What was the place I told you I thought I'd meet him?
Villa Testi.
Villa Testi's.
And...
Concourse.
Yeah, the when shirt cocking his... events of the year.
Did it? Was it the P4?
P4/5.
That's right. When he was unveiling that car, it was the year of that.
But
was
he
really
is
Villa Testi's.
A refreshingly straight-talking bloke, isn't he?
Yeah.
We discovered today... Because he said that he was quite honest about it. He went, the engine in that car is the Chevy GM.
Yeah, LT4 is it classed as?
LS4, I think. Yeah, LS4, I think.
Yeah, and it's a Corvette motor, really.
They take on the certification and homologation of it, so they get to call it their own. But he's not going to try and bullshit you and say that it's theirs. He's quite open about where it comes from, and they just... They use a supercharged version of it, 650 horsepower, and then he went, because why would we need any more? There's not a road tyre around that can handle 650 horsepower without just constantly activating the traction control if you really want to gun it. And so any more power is bullshit. And those were pretty much his exact words.
Oh, he did say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and central driving position with two friends, like the McLaren... No, yeah, the McLaren F1 and the Gordon Murray car, the T50.
And the... McLaren Speedtail as well.
Oh yeah,
which wasn't there. I didn't see a Speedtail today.
No, I didn't.
A lot of McLarens,
see
but not a Speedtail. I like the Speedtail.
Yeah, I know
I don't
what
know
you mean.
Why. I just do. It's sort of. I don't. It's silly in a way, but I quite like it.
I think if you can have a McLaren, have a silly one, right?
Well, yeah. Although that's the thing, that arterial damage looks like it's actually quite sensible in a way, particularly with the plug-in. Do you know how far it goes on?
I don't.
Plug-in.
I don't. No, I wish you hadn't asked me that.
Just make up a number. 400.
50 miles.
50? I don't think it'd be 50.
No, well, I don't. That's why I don't know. I just had to say a number. Speak,
two,
Gary.
Two,
think, Gary.
One.
Think.
It'll go as far as you could throw it.
For a second, then, I felt like Danny Bahar about 10 years ago.
What, just making up numbers?
Yeah. You almost go out on stage to unveil a Lotus, but you don't know any of the numbers, and you
yeah,
just kind
just
of...
them up. Well,
didn't John DeLorean do that sort of thing as well?
Oh,
a bit?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm not sure.
This is going to be the world's fastest car with gullwing doors. Everyone's like, you didn't say it was going to be the world's fastest.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Funny enough, the launch of the Lotus Emira, there's a sort of closure for Lotus on the Bahaha era because that new factory building that he commissioned was then stopped when it was just a steel frame. And it's been like that for 10 years.
Has it?
It's known at Lotus as the skeleton building because it's just the skeleton of a building. And
did they just realise they didn't need to do it? It was a waste of money?
Well, because all those cars, you know, he sort of went nuts and announced 7 cars at once with Brian May and Mickey Rourke and Naomi Campbell and...
Sharon Stone.
Christ knows who else, yeah.
Of UB40?
All of them. But there's two different UB40s as well. I mean, that's just...
that is complicated.
That's loads of people. But he seemed to honestly think he was going to do some or all of that. And so, yeah, he's commissioned the start of a new factory building then when he departed. And all
Where is he?
Well, he does that company, what they're called, Ars Design in Italy.
Ars?
Yeah, Ares. It's an anagram of Ars.
What?
They do that thing where they do a Di Tommaso Pantera sort of modernised thing, but I can't remember what it's based on.
Bloody hell. We did get to look at some of the sort of 70s wedgie supercars in the Cartier lawn today. And we both did that early Di Tommaso Pantera, 1971 I think it was. How handsome was that?
Yeah, and having seen a really late Pantera, and you realise they made the Pantera for a long time.
They did.
Or was it a 1990 Pantera?
It was a 90.
And it was quite a fun-looking thing. By then, it sprouted lots of arches and body kitty shit. And then you see an original Pantera, and you go... But only in the same way that near the Pantera, they had an original Countach, like a Periscopo early one. And you go, God, they were great, weren't they? And you sort of imagine full Rod Stewart spec with a wing and sidey bits and all sorts. And
which is like 10 years down the line or whatever. One,
they are so nice.
Yeah.
And they look so sort of delicate and pretty compared to what they became.
I know, Johnny. Guys.
So, yes, listen. I know. But yes, anyway, I was going to say, yeah, the Amira, the skeleton building that was one of Danny Bahaha's follies is now finished off, or near finished off, and it's going to be the hall in which they build the Amira.
Cry me a mirror. Cry me a mirror. Great Justin Timberlake song.
Oh, Timberlake.
Yeah. I actually don't like that song.
You don't?
I don't really. A Crimean River, it's okay. It's not the best Justin Timberlake song, I think. My wife's a massive JT fan.
Can it be something new? Can't wait. What's that one called?
It's all right. It's the one. The best one. The best song he's ever done is with 50 Cent. AO Technology. For younger listeners,
yes.
It has explicit meanings. Not actual explicit words, but there is explicit meanings.
Oh, I can't. We're not on the internet here. I don't know. I can't access emails.
But it's great.
But a listener has sent the other week sent us a message about a song. How would I find this? I wouldn't. I'll bring this back up again. I think they've. I think I can't remember if it was a Prince song, but basically all Prince songs are about genitals, and they are.
They are. I know. It's
brilliant. Little Red Corvette is not about a Corvette.
Sexy MF.
Yeah. Bat Dance. I don't know what that's about. That might actually be about Batman.
It's about bats dancing.
It's about bat dancing. Well.
Dancing with Michael Keaton.
Look, listen, guys. We've talked for an hour and a half, pretty much.
No, get out.
Yeah, we have. So we probably should wrap this up.
No, you droopy tailpipe.
Because otherwise we'll just be here all night sitting. It's getting cold as well.
Are we going to see a return of the downturn tailpipe?
Well, they are downturned sometimes, aren't they? But they're hidden behind the rear skirt.
It doesn't count.
Valance, the Holly Valance, if you will.
Yeah. The Holly.
The Holly.
Is she Holly Valance or Valance?
Holly...
Because she's single L.
Valance. But I mean, it is Valance, isn't it? She's just said, oh, no, I want the emphasis to go in a different place.
But is that because she's Australian? They emphasise in different places.
But do they?
Americans do.
Do they? I'd say Americans do more often, because I think typically in American speech patterns, they always land the emphasis on the first syllable more than we do.
Oh, bloody hell, Rich.
Ice cream. Ice cream.
Oh.
They're the ones, because we always go, we make the TV show Top Gear, and they'd be like, Top Gear, and you go, oh, you've moved the emphasis there. So going back into your house and someone's moved from the chair. So you go, well, hang on a minute, we didn't ask you. Oh, it's fine. It's
Top
all right.
Gear.
Top Gear. Okay. Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that.
Armchair. That's a bad example, but you know what I mean. Ice cream is a better one. Anyway, we should probably... smoothly move this
tears for fears. I was thinking that the other day. I was on my own driving, and I was thinking about that stupid conversation we had ages ago. Ages and ages and ages ago about changing tears to tears for songs. And it's just...
But I told you that one that I've started doing as well, with my new game that I was just doing to amuse myself the other day, where I messaged you about it. Any song with the word "the rain" in it, in the lyrics, just change "the rain" to "Lorraine." So obviously you've got "Kiss Lorraine" by Billy Myers, but then you've also got "I Can't Stand Lorraine."
I can't stand Lorraine.
And here comes Lorraine again, falling on my head. Like, what fall? How is she falling on your head, Annie?
Oh, she's pissed right up at the staff do. At the staff party, Lorraine's in account, so you don't normally don't talk to her unless you need something.
She's a nuisance, isn't she?
She's a bit annoying. Lorraine
she is a bit annoying. She She's very passive aggressive about food in the work fridge.
Here comes
the
rain again.
Cutlery usage as well. So yeah, screw Lorraine. Anyway, we really do have to stop now. So,
Tears on my pillow.
For old time's sake, I'm going to do three things, I suppose. Three things are, one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel. You can find out what it's called from, what is it called?
What, my own channel?
The Late Break Show,
absolute.
Isn't it?
Absolutely.
I was about to say the Late Break Show.
You're an absolute.
And I totally.
You're a foreskin full of pound coins.
My brain jammed.
The late break. You've got a mouthful of Malbec and your brain's not working.
The Late Break Show.
Yeah, the Late Break Show on YouTube.
What's
lovely,
your new video?
Lovely place.
Bearing in mind this is going out on Monday.
The new video. Actually, there'll be we've got the driver of the Lancia Stratos rally rep on the road, which was glorious. And we've got some projects of the people, which is where I let people send in a little 2-minute video of their vehicle and why they like it and their little shed.
Good.
And it's lovely. I'm going to use the word lovely. It's charming and lovely and warm.
Cool.
Yeah.
What, the Stratos or the shed?
In the words of Buffalo Bill. I'd fuck me. Would you fuck me?
I've been walking in the rain. Two, I've got some books out.
Don't you just love the British promotion of that? Are you actually, you've gone to the effort of writing a book and he can't be bothered to tell anyone.
I've
got some books out.
All right, which one? Oh, Boring Car Trivia.
Boring Car Trivia,
medium-sized
volume
book of boring
one,
car
one
trivia.
And two.
Yeah. And they give them consistent titles. The first one is called A Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia, and the second one is called Boring Car Trivia Volume 2. And they are both by Sniff Petrol, available exclusively on Amazon as an ebook or a paperback.
And they're stuffed.
And they
facts.
Have forewords by James May for Volume 1 and Jeremy Clarkson for Volume 2.
Johnny Smith for Volume 3, or would it be Hammond?
That would be very unfair on Richard Hammond.
It would, wouldn't it? I'd quite like to do.
If I get around to Volume 3, I have to offer it to him first, or I think he would be quite offended. He'll find out and be going, well, hang on a minute, you skipped me, you prick. What did you do that for? That's what I'd say if
you
I was
gave
him.
It to that absolute trombone.
Yeah,
over
going, oh, well, I mean, I suppose it could be quite ironic, and he might appreciate the irony if I gave Volume 3 to Jason Dore. Promised him Volume 4, but that means you're bumped down the queue.
Oh, I'm fine.
I don't think there's any trivia left for Volume 5. Who knows? And three, I don't know, random fact. I've got a few of these written down. Here we go with this one. The Simpsons are yellow to stand out on TV, and also because yellow suited the characters that have no distinct hair, because yellow is sort of skin colour and hair colour.
What sort of skin and hair colour?
Well, yeah, if you think about it, Lisa and Bart don't have any sort of delineation between their hair and their
No, they don't. They're skin, always easy to draw
don't
at school.
Look weird because the yellow. If they were pink, if they had pink flesh coloured hair, it would be strange, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
And it's.
Flesh coloured hair. There's a John Peel session.
We've got three more from them. It's wrong, but now, flesh coloured hair. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you ever so much for listening to...
Big shout-out to Michael Bolton cycling through Chichester.
I hope you've made it home, Bolton,
big,
you flaxen-haired buffoon.
Big shout-out to the supercharged Jag that was absolutely steamy.
Yeah, I hope you've made it home under your own steam, or no pun intended, or with the help of a breakdown organisation, but I hope your car's okay because it was lovely. Thank you to...
everyone that said hello at the show.
Yeah.
And everyone that subscribes to Smith & Sniff via Patreon.
Yes.
Which is really lovely.
Yes. And everyone who's watched our stuff from Goodwood this past weekend.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Lovely. And a special thank you to the Vaz for doing a lovely display. And for just everybody backing about. And just, I was going to say, but look here, if you do this again, I will call police, OK? It's very noisy. if you're Lord March, the good news is it's now Monday when you're listening to this and you can come out.
Yeah.
Of your bedroom.
Yeah, come out in your egg-stained pants. Put your PS5 controller down.
Imagine you ran out of kettle chips a couple of days ago.
And I bet you've been doing that teenage boy thing of wazzing out of the sash window.
Oh, no,
instead
no,
of going to the
he's been weeing in the sink. I'm sure of it. You're a disgrace, March. Sort yourself out. He's not called that anymore, so it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about him. He reinvents himself every couple of years, sort of like Prince.
Yeah.
He's the Earl of Richmond now, isn't he?
He's the...
I think. I can't remember.
Prince of June?
No.
No?
The Archbishop of... August? Kingston. Upon Thames. I don't know. No one does. Anyway, before this is... We absolutely cement...
Are we still
us
talking?
...to be not invited back to do any Goodwood work in the future, thoroughly. Or indeed allowed on site, even as a paying guest. We will say thank you again for listening. We will see you again next week for a more normal and less drunk... Sitting in a field episode of Smith and Sniff. So we'll see you then. Thank you.
On that side of things, thank you.
Hot sot, goodbye.